Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support. We're live in Studio A. Thrilled to have Vintage Trouble joining us today. Thank you so much for being here, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, what a show last night. Such a huge venue, you know, that things have taken off pretty quickly for you guys. We'll talk about that and where it all started and what's going on today. We'll chat a bit, and they're going to play a few for us. What's this first one you're going to start us off with?
We're going to start out with a song called Nancy Lee. And it's a song that tells about the story of how my parents met. And it was in the 50s, and they're from North Carolina. And my mother, she was a very beautiful lily in the middle of a lot of country folks. And, you know, she's just gorgeous. And my dad was a construction worker and a farmer. And, you know, he just saw this beautiful lily in the middle of this thing and asked her to dance. And there's something about my dad. He didn't write any poems and didn't do anything like that. So as I got older, I kind of felt like my mother deserved a love song. So I kind of wrote these lyrics from the standpoint of, you know, my dad seeing my mom for the first time. And then this is Nancy Lee.
Very nice. Thanks for sharing that story.
I see you, Nancy Lee. I hope that you see me. I see you, Nancy Lee. I hope that you see me. I'm not the only other man who wants your hand to be in his hand. Oh boy, I don't just want to need you, Nancy Lee.
Check this out.
Country girl sitting on the porch squeezing lemons, taking what was given and making lemonade. I was tearing down the dusty road back to the city. When I crossed the bars, there I stayed. And I tell you, I was looking for it, no, but it came hunting me. How do I get what I get? Honey's gonna be. I see you, Nancy Lee.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I hope that you see me.
I hope that you see me.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I hope that you see me.
I hope that you see me.
I know now I'm the only other man who wants your hand to be in his hand. But I don't just want you, Nancy Lee. Girl, never thought what you were bringing. Precisely why I never fell in. She don't care where around the world I've been singing. Nothing is nothing unless it ends with amen. That's why I tell you, I'm looking for it, no, but it came hunting me. How do I get what I get from down on one knee? Nancy Lee.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I hope that you see me.
I hope that you see me.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I hope that you see me, Nancy.
I hope that you see me.
I'm not the only other man who wants your hand to be in his hand. But I don't just wanna need you, Nancy Lee.
I hope that you
Nancy Lee.
Sweet. Nancy Lee, your folks must be proud. That's a great story, great song, and one you performed last night at the Shy, opening up for The Who. And yeah, you talked about your mom on stage and kind of spruced up yourself because you said you had to when you were talking about your mom.
Exactly, so. out of respect. You gotta always look good talking about it. I mean, it's one of those things where you know your parents for so long, and for some reason when you put your mindset into thinking about what they were like when they were younger, it's a trip, because you know we just think about our parents as people that take care of us. You don't think about them as being teenagers and flirty and fun.
Right.
And so it's kind of good for us to do this song because it's actually given me a whole different perspective on my family. You know, it just reminds you, everybody dances at some point. And now, yeah, I know why my parents like to dance so much, because they met at a dance. And just the fact that we get to sing it and feel grooves like that every day, it's
yeah,
great for us.
Absolutely. So, and your parents' inspiration for that song came from them. What about listening to music while you were growing up in the house?
Oh, there was so much stuff in my house. There was a lot of gospel, a lot of old gospel stuff, you know, like Staple Singers and this kind of stuff. And there was a lot of early soul stuff, like, you know, Ike and Tina Turner and this kind of stuff. But my mom loved a lot of the early rock and roll people, like Carole King, James mm-hmm. Taylor. She had a real space in her heart for, you know, kind of soft, melodic, acoustic rock and roll. So, I mean, all that is in the house growing up. But I'm sure we all probably have different stories,
yeah,
about it.
Right.
That's me, mainly gospel and soul. And kind of later on, I got into some rock and roll.
And all of you fellas were in different bands before you gathered together out in L.A. Tell us how the collaboration started. Who wants to speak here?
Well, this is Nolly speaking.
Nolly.
And I knew known Ty for quite a while, and we were in some bands before, and there was always a slightly large band, so we needed a small quartet that we could travel easy with and play, you know, do quick moves with, and we met Rick and Richard, and instant love was right there, and we started playing, and we knew we were Vintage Trouble.
And the debut album, Bomb Shelter Sessions, mm-hmm. You went into that studio, the Bomb Shelter studio, and
yes,
just intended to make it demos. And it turned out, well, we don't need to. These are demos, you know, so that kind of worked out nicely
surprise.
For you, too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly what happened. We kind of had this thing with threes in the beginning. We've been together for 3 weeks before we played our first show. And then 3 months later, we recorded our first record, which was just to be these demos, and we recorded that record in 3 days. And I think it was nice because it didn't take the pressure off. We didn't know there was any pressure. We were just going,
right,
because we started doing these residencies in LA, and we decided very early on we weren't going to be the kind of band that would play around at these places that demanded you almost pay to play, or either that you had to bring your friends. Like, we had this idea, like, you know, there are so many amazing, gorgeous, sexy venues in Los Angeles that might not even have performing already, and we were going to try and ask them if they wanted to have a band play there once a week. So we set up these residencies, and then we were just in it before you knew it. And we needed something to sell at these shows that we were doing four times a week. And so we were just going to go kind of record a couple songs we've been doing. And this guy that was recording with us, Peter McCabe, all of a sudden we were just listening to all these songs and it felt like a record. And we were like, well, maybe we can already have a record. And we definitely didn't think it was going to be the record that we would have representing us to this point. But what's so great about it is that it always kind of, when we listen to the record, we feel really proud of it. You know, we sat in a room and we played and we looked at each other and did full takes. And it represents how quickly our synergy caught a flame. You know what I mean?
It was such a
nice little 3-day period that it's kind of lasted a long time as far as we're concerned.
That raw power, too. It's really.
To Nolly's point, I think it's great because the intention was early on to strip it down, to kind of just, we actually call it sort of devolving in a sense. And so even on the record, there's no overdubs. It is what you hear. You know, we pick up, there's these guys and these voices and that's what it is, kind of live takes. And it was great doing that because it forced us to listen, and it forced us to sort of grow in a way, whereas you simplify like that, and that's kind of led us to here, which has been great.
Oh, and it's so great to have you here, and we get a special little kind of stripped down version of Vintage Trouble too,
yeah,
right?
You said stripped.
Don't mess
early
with me, Ty.
It's early for that talk. It's early for that talk.
Not too early.
It's not even wine 30 yet. Or maybe it is.
Oh,
bring
it
in the wine and the dancing girls.
All right, it's Vintage Trouble live from Studio A. They got a couple more coming up for us. And what's this next one you're going to do?
Okay, this next song is the first song we actually played together. We had it's a song called Blues Hand-Me-Down. The story is about kind of about my dad and our ancestors that came ahead of us. You know, you kind of have certain parts of your personality, and sometimes you don't understand where they come from. And as you become a man, you start searching out where some of the rawness and the primitive nature comes from. And for us, and for me especially, it's from my dad. And I was explaining to my friend Debbie one time in the airport, you know, my dad wasn't just trouble, he was vintage trouble. And then so that's when we wrote the lyric for this song, cool. Blues Hand-Me-Down, which ends up being the first song on the record. It's been a song that's defined us, who we are, our energy and everything. And Richard likes to talk about this song, our drummer. He says, you know, it was the first song that he knew that we were going to be okay with being a band, because he played this crazy fill in the beginning that no other three people would allow him to do. And we said, okay, let's keep that at the top of the record. And so he knew at that time he found the right people. Right. He knew he found people he could bamboozle. And this can be my band.
it's been golden ever since.
Yeah, so this is Blues Hand-Me-Down.
All right. You.
Wow!
Was a blues man. Yeah.
she was.
Blues Hand Me Down. It's Vintage Treble, another one live from Studio A. Just awesome. And you even got everybody dancing around us here. And in those big arena shows, it's, you know, the opening band. And for the majority of people in that crowd would be like, all right, when's The Who coming on? You know what I mean? But you had the whole crowd working the whole crowd and just so much fun. And, I'm sure they were sorry to see you not play for longer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of the things that's made us love The Who even more is the people that they attract. Their audiences seem to be very smart-minded as far as music is concerned. But at the same time, they also, there's probably a glory day attached to a lot of them. And for some reason, being at this concert reminds them of a time that they were just wild and crazy. And for some reason, they come and they let that out. And probably all day long while they were, whatever they're doing before they came to the concert, they couldn't wait to get to that concert tonight and let it go. And they let it go early. So we get that benefit. We get to feel a people that are there hungry for music, and they're not just going to reserve it until the headliner gets there. That says something that's very giving about an audience. And, you know, we do this thing where we go out after our set and we talk to people in the audience, and we go to our merchandise booth, and the things that people have to say are so nice that it's almost more overwhelming than the applause sometimes. And again, that just says to us that people are looking for a caliber of live music that makes them feel like it was a time before the computers took over our music industry, and they have no problems in letting us know that we are feeling something inside of them. And you can imagine what that does to you as a creator. You know, you create these things at home, and then you go out and you get to actually hear people tell you about what you've created, how it affects them. And people are laughing and crying and bringing their kids, and this is their kids' first concert. So we always joke around and we say, well, since we opened, we are the actual first concert your kids saw.
That's who they're talking about. The first band
you ever saw.
Well, it's Ty, Nally, right? Mm-hmm. And Richard and Rick together today. Ty Taylor talking mostly today, and Nally, Richard, Rick Barrio, Nally Colt, let me get it, and Richard Danielson, there we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The four of them together, they make up Vintage Treble. And so you got a few more dates with The Who, and then your own kind of headlining, and then going back out with The Who.
Yeah.
Is that what lies next?
We were asked about 3 weeks ago to continue on with them in Europe and do the UK tour with them. And then yesterday we got some good news that we can't talk about, but it involves us being with them a little further.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess there's the news.
As well as some other I guess you talked about it.
But I didn't say what. Well, I mean, we're all going out to dinner after the last show and talk about the good times
the
we're going to have
out.
In Spain and
out.
South America.
Oh. VintageTreble.com. Well, I'm sure the information will be up there soon and to keep up to date.
I'm going to be in trouble this afternoon. So.
Well, guys, thank you so very much for being here. Really. Really appreciate you taking the time. And unfortunately, they're not playing again tonight in town, but we're really happy that they were here today. And what's this last one you're going to do?
This last song we're going to do is a song called Nobody Told Me. The reason why we like playing it so much is because for us, it kind of feels like a message telling us that no matter what's going on today, there's a lot of crazy things, whether it be personally or globally, that tend to get people very heavy. And if you just find the right mantras to put in your head, you can get over the hump. And this is a song called Nobody Told Me, like I said, and hopefully anyone that's listening will find something in it that helps them get over something that they might be tied down by.
Thank you again, guys.
And a calling. So get up and gather round everyone. I've been withering and dying, trembling from trying, barely crawling. What can I do? What will I do? Nobody told me, nobody told me, nobody. Nobody told me how heavy this life was gonna be. No. No. Here stands a silver line believer, not believing, a rosy-eyed dreamer awakening. I enter a moment when hands are not given to the needy. What will become of the needing ones? Somebody tell me. Nobody told me. Nobody told me. Nobody told me how heavy this life was gonna be. I said nobody told me. Just hold on until the morning dawn, and nothing remains but a better day. And my song will sing of a way down time now behind me, and I will be moving, and I will be grooving. Yes, I will. You know I will. Nobody told me. Nobody told me. Nobody told me how heavy this life would be. How heavy this life would be. But I keep pushing on. Hey, every day is getting heavier and heavier. Every day is getting heavier and heavier. And I call, oh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.